Praise the Lord. I've been sharing the last couple of times that I shared, I've been sharing on a message that I've been calling the source for our course. And I want to continue that tonight. But, you know, I've had my notes on this for quite some time, and I've just kept going over them and going over them. And I've even, you know, you go back when you're studying and you make changes and you try to, you know, Lord, I just want to say what you would have me to say. And, you know, I got to tell you, I had a hard time getting through my notes. I was editing some things, and twice this week, yesterday, I had gotten almost through everything, and Word just shut down, and I couldn't get my document back. I know what you're saying, you know, Jesus saves. Well, I didn't. So I typed it all again today, and Word shut down. And I was having a real hard time with that. I mean, you know, I maintained my composure, as I do. You just saw me crying. But I got it all done, and I put the things back together. And, you know, I've been in ministry for a long time. There are people here who have been in ministry a lot longer than I have, but I've been in ministry a long time now. It's been, you know, I started in ministry somewhere around 30 pounds ago. And so it's easier to count the pounds than it is the years. I was in ministry. I was preaching a lot before. Now, I don't know exactly what I was preaching, but I was preaching a lot before I came to Rhema as a student. And I had people tell me, don't go out there. You don't need to. You're already in ministry. You're already doing things. You're already preaching. And so, you know, trying to talk me out of something. And, you know, well-meaning people will talk you out of things if you'll let them. Things that God is calling you to do. And you'll start questioning what you've already heard from the Lord, because people that you respect and appreciate and value will start saying things, and maybe you'll start second-guessing yourself. I mean, not you, me, okay? It's better that I preach about me. Maybe you've been there, though. You felt like you knew what you were supposed to do, and somebody, well-meaning as they were, came up and they caused some confusion. But, you know, God's not trying to confuse us. God is not trying to hide his plan and his purpose. Now, do we have to spend some time seeking the Lord to discover some things? Certainly we do. We have to do that. I'm not saying that. But God's not hiding it from us. You know, what is, long time ago, I was reading the Bible, and in searching and seeking God's will about stuff, you're like, you know, well, if I could think the thoughts of God, you ever thought about that? I wish I could think the thoughts of God, or I wish I knew what God was thinking about this. We don't have to wish. You know, when somebody writes a book, that's the thoughts of the author. Isn't that right? Well, we got a whole book that gives us a glimpse into the mind of God. We know what God has in store for us, right? Too heavy for the room? Where are my people at? No, it ain't y'all. No, I'm just kidding. I got you. I got you. Praise the Lord. We'll try it again. Where are my people at? Oh, thanks. That was real nice of you. I just, in case you don't like anything else I say, I just wanted that on the recording. So there you go. That was for me, really. God's not hiding his plan for us, and God's got good plans for us. And I'll review some things. The reason that I review like I do isn't because I don't have other things to say. I've got lots of stuff that I could be saying, but I want to be led in what I say. And sometimes, I've taught for a long time, not just as a minister, but I taught in college. I taught speech and interpersonal communications. I teach it at the Bible college here. I've taught for a long time, and sometimes you can say things a different way and somebody will get it when they didn't get it before, right? And so I don't mind going back and reviewing. You can always go back and listen to what I've said. You'll see that when I review, I may add something else, because when I'm studying, I'll get some light about something and I'll share that. I trust, because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside that you'll get things that I don't even say that the Lord will just speak to your heart while I'm speaking. Amen? But we started this out by saying that we have to know who the source is. That was our first point that we gave you, who our source is. God declares himself, Philippians 4:19, the scripture that we gave you was James 1:17 and Philippians 4:19. But Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He's a supplier of need. Amen? When there's a need, God can supply it. All right? That was a little weak, but James, that's why we're going over it again. James 1:17. Thank you again for the rousing burst of silence. I appreciate you guys. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. God is a giver, and he's a giver of good things. He doesn't do bad things. God's not giving you bad stuff. But you know the number of people who don't look at God as a source of just good things that also look at God as maybe he's the one who gives them bad things? That's a problem when you're trying to believe God and you don't know what God you're getting when you get there. If God is good today and then he does something bad tomorrow, I don't know who I'm getting when I arrive. Isn't that right? I pastored in a couple of denominational churches. It's not just denominational churches that believe this. I was raised in an old-time Pentecost church. Our church was so Pentecostal that the name of it was Pentecostal Church of Deliverance. It's really hard to invite guests there. Their Baptist parents were like, no, thank you. But some Pentecostal people believe that God does bad things or brings harm into our life. Lots of denominational people believe that. When I was preparing today, I was thinking about this one particular denominational church that we had the privilege of pastoring. This did not happen while I was pastoring there. It had happened many years before that. I was in ministry, but we knew this family, and a little girl that went to our church died. And when I say a little girl, I mean an elementary school girl. And it was something that was a surprise to everyone. They did not expect it. She had had health problems when she was younger, but they did not expect it at this point. And she was at school, and she collapsed. Her parents sent her to school that day, and she got there, and she was in gym class, and they were running around, and she collapsed, and she never regained consciousness, and her parents never were able to. Well, if you believe that God causes things like that, the number of people that I heard telling this family, you know, that God just needed her more in heaven. The people that would, they would say, you know, well, God is teaching you something in this. You know, just things that were causing harm. The mom came to church a lot and brought the little girl to church. The dad barely came to church. And he was hearing all this stuff. And it was, and people were greeting him. It was after the funeral. And I had heard a lot of people say that. And I was talking to him. And I didn't go into, like, I wasn't looking to have some theological debate. You know, pick your spots, if you will. Be led. You know, God's not going to have you all the time. You know, at the funeral, am I going to go up and, you know, correct his doctrine? No, but I shook his hand. You know, we weren't like hugging. He was country. We weren't hugging each other. A country guy. He's country like squirrel gravy. Good man, but he was, you know, he wasn't a hugger. I shook hands with him, and I said, "Hey, brother, we're going to be praying for you guys. I'm so sorry." And I said, "But I want you to know that God doesn't cause our troubles. And if you ever want to talk about it, I'll be available." Never took me up on the offer. Many years later, I'm pastoring at that church, and his dad was dying. Had the same condition that my own dad had. He had a type of dementia, and I had only seen that dude. I knew his spouse for years. I had only seen that dude a couple of times because he was never at the church. This is the dad of the man that his granddaughter died. Well, I'm the pastor at this point, and his wife goes to my church, and so I'm paying them visits. And I'm like, I don't know that this man is born again, and he's losing his faculties mentally. And I prayed and I asked the Lord for an opportunity at some point, because he would come in and out. My own dad did that. There were times where he would know what was going on, and then there were other times he didn't. And I asked the Lord, if you could allow me an opportunity to be able to talk to him about his salvation. And this gentleman, when I started going to see him, was pretty far gone. But I was at his house one day, and I was talking to his wife, and I started talking to him, and he came to himself. And his wife was in there too, but I just started preaching the gospel to this man. I shared the gospel with him, that we all, at some point in our lives, we all leave this earth. And, you know, Jesus came to died for you, and he died for me, and we've all done things that separated us from God, and you can be born again. This guy, he'd been to church a few times. I'm sure he heard some things, but I preached the gospel to the guy, and I said, you know, if you don't know that when you leave the earth, that you'll go to heaven, you can know. And if you want to pray, I'll pray with you. Amen. And he did pray with me. And he's in heaven now. And it wasn't too long after that that he did pass, and he went home to be with the Lord. And after he went home to be with the Lord, I was meeting with the family. And his son was there as well. And we were just talking about the funeral, and we were talking about, you know, their dad, scriptures that they might want to use, memories about their dad, the kind of things that you do with a family after there's a homegoing. And so we were doing that. And when I left, I excused myself. I had everything that I needed. He came outside with me. And when he came outside with me, he was a little upset, you could tell. He just lost his dad. But he wanted to, I could tell, just by unction of the Spirit, I could tell he wanted to talk to me about something serious. And so the conversation that I was never able to have, I was able to have with him standing in the driveway at his mom and dad's house. And I was able to tell him that I had prayed with his dad, and his dad was born again, and that his daughter was waiting in heaven, and that his dad would be waiting in heaven. And then I asked him, do you know if you're born again? And he couldn't tell me if he was saved. So I said, well, if you want to, we can pray right now. And he got born again too. That's God. Not in the dying of the girl, but the goodness of saving the whole family. I used to be a little upset, just to be completely honest with you, about my... My brother is a missionary, and he and I were always really close. And I felt like I was getting cheated out of him a little bit because he was always gone, and we were buddies, and we hung out all the time, and I didn't get to hang out with him anymore. And, you know, God wasn't trying to keep my brother from me, but the Lord reminded me one day that we had forever. That he's born again and I'm born again. We've got forever. So if I don't see him here, you know, I save a ton of money on Christmas gifts. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I buy him gifts. That'd be a good idea, though. Sarah, write that down. I'll be like, I was just going to get you something when we got to heaven. Get your family saved, and you don't ever have to say goodbye to anybody. Isn't that right? Get people born again. But in bad situations, God is good. He's not causing our problems. And if people don't know that, if we don't tell them that God is good, he's the source of all good gifts, he's the provider, he's a good God, we have to know that God is good for ourselves. If you're not convinced of that, I love this quote. I heard somebody else quote it, but they were quoting Brother Mel Piper. I've said this here before, but he said, always stay on God's side. Isn't that smart? When I don't know everything, I'm just going to stay on God's side. When I don't have all the answers, I'm not going to say God must be bad. You know, you can be in the middle of God's will doing something that you know that God's called you to, and it can feel like dynamite just blew up in your face because something bad happens. But God's not in the blow up. And he can restore whatever it was. If we get the idea that God is somehow causing our problems, then we're not going to go to him when things get bad. I just had somebody say to me the other day that, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, then I guess it was just God telling me no. I'd rather just have him say it to me. And if I'll spend a little time, he will. If he doesn't want me doing it, you know why I don't want externals to determine my outcomes? Because the devil works in externals. Well, if this doesn't happen, it must not have been God. Well, maybe God does want you to have that, and you just got to resist, and that was the devil trying to keep you from something. The devil is bad, and God is good. He's a source of good things. All good things, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Man, I never get through with a message. Everything I teach is in series. 747. These are my highlights. I just started writing stuff today as I was studying this. Y'all okay? I'm not going to apologize for it. I'll just come back and we'll preach again. And if you'll come back. Now, if you stop showing up, that'll be a real problem. I'm going to still preach, but, you know. We have to know that God is the source of all good things. Get convinced that if it's bad, it's the enemy, or it could be you. Or me. I mean, not just you. But we have a flesh, right? If it's bad, God isn't in it. He'll restore us from bad situations. You lost your job? Did you do something dumb? Or did somebody else end up causing that? Well, it wasn't God. And that one job isn't the end of what God can provide. I think I've told you all the story, maybe even during the series, about the guy who made me mad one time when I moved here as a student. I don't get mad all the time. I know this is the second time I told you guys I got mad about something, but I don't get mad all the time. But I was kind of raw about this. The guy told me, I said, you know, I was trying to be smart, take care of my family. I said, what's the economy like in Tulsa? Because I'm moving here. He said, what do you care? Which I thought was just rude. But then he clarified his remarks. He said, how many jobs do you need? That's a great question, isn't it? He said, if God's calling you here, you just need one. It doesn't matter what the economy's like. You just need one job. And God can provide that one job for you no matter what the economy's like. Isn't that right? And that's my second point is this. We have to know that God is the source of all good things, but we have to understand that we have to stay the course with God and understand that God has many channels for the things he brings to us. If God is the source of all good things, everything else, and we said this to you, is just a channel. Right? Here's the problem, though, with people trusting in channels. What you end up doing, a channel is very limited. If you don't look to God as your source, or if you get the idea that God is good and bad, you know, that's, you know, the idea that God is good and bad is, people who use the parallel for Star Wars as Christianity really have it wrong. Those are the people that believe that God is good and bad. Star Wars is Taoism, light and dark. And in that circle, you just never know what you're going to get. God is not good and bad. He's good. The enemy is bad. Amen. God provides for us, and he does it through channels. You might be a channel. But some people get so hung up on channels that they stay in them so long that they dry up and they're just standing in a ditch. The channel is not our source. The one who causes blessings to flow through the channel is the source. And people will get mad at channels. They get mad. But, you know, really, how many of you got cable in some way? Got satellite? If you didn't like changing channels, you'd just use an antenna. You like changing channels, except when it comes to believing God, most of us. We want to get in a rut that God's been providing this way, and so I want him to just keep providing this way. I want my flow to come this way. But sometimes our source is trying to move us over to another channel so that he can continue the blessings, and that's walking the path. Because sometimes there's no flow in the channel, right? We have to learn to not only trust God as the source, but we have to learn to stay the course with God. Knowledge is knowing that God is our source. Wisdom is following the direction that he has for us. Realizing that he's going to provide for us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights, that word there means finds joy in his way. God, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and God finds joy in his way. You know, it makes God happy when you're on track. God doesn't want to see you fail. He wants us to keep moving forward with him. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He is the provider of the good things, but it's up to us whether or not we walk in them. Proverbs 16:9 says this, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So God prepares a path, God directs a path. He'll help us to keep us on the path. His provision for us is found in that path, but we have to choose what we're going to do. Am I going to stay in one channel because I don't like moving around? Am I going to rely on that channel to be my source instead of God? There are people who won't move. I know there are people who they'll move to an area, they'll get a job, and the job will be providing for all of their needs. And they'll be getting promotions. And there are people that have come to Rhema before that I've heard them tell their stories where they came here. The Lord didn't tell them to come here and stay. Some of us are stayers and some of us are goers. He told them to go, but they got so comfortable in the channel that he provided for them here that they never stepped out to the next thing. Right. Or there are people who step into a channel and they're getting some blessing from that channel, but they want more in their life. They want more provision. They'd like to get a raise. And then they get mad at their boss because it's their fault that they're not making enough money. And they want to put pressure on the boss to pay them more because they don't look at that channel as just a channel. They look at that channel as their source. But, you know, God can give you a good idea that'll make you do quite well. Isn't that right? I'm preaching over here. I heard an amen. That don't make me come out there. We have to know the source. We have to stay the course. And this is the point that I wanted to get to tonight. We are actually going to get there. Not very long, but we're going to get there. Keep the connection. We have to learn to keep the connection. Connection is the key to fruitfulness. John 15, verses 4 through 8, I want to read this to you. I want to demonstrate this to you. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He says that the way to bear fruit here, notice the scripture doesn't tell us to bear fruit. It tells us how to bear fruit. Isn't that right? He doesn't tell you, go bear fruit. He says, this is how you will bear fruit. Jesus didn't say, try harder. Right? Because you're not your source. Amen. He doesn't tell the branch, struggle until you produce something. That's not what he says. Why? Because you're not the source. He doesn't tell the branch, make some fruit. Because you're not the producer of the fruit. He says, abide in me. The responsibility of a believer when it comes to bearing fruit is just to abide in him. And then by abiding in him, well, what is that? That's staying connected to the source. That's making a decision that whatever channel he puts me in, I'm willing to walk it out, but I know the channel doesn't take care of my needs. I have to have the source. I'm not the source. The channel's not the source. God is my source. This is my backyard. I have a wonderful garden. Humble brag. I've really, you know, the Oklahoma dirt in my backyard wouldn't grow anything. Now, I love this state, but the dirt in my yard is terrible. Not even terrible, it's terrible. I had to buy dirt and haul it in, but I got good dirt. And man, I've had tomatoes. I've had I still got hot peppers and okra and bell peppers. I still got lots of stuff coming in. I don't have any more tomatoes. It's too hot for them. But my son knows I love to garden. And my father-in-law taught me how to do it. And he's a master gardener. He does a lot better than I do. But I'm doing pretty good. Well, my son knows I like to garden. And so he got me a sprinkler. And so it's the best one I've ever had. And I don't even know what it cost or anything like that, but I wanted to show it to you because I wanted to demonstrate it. So if you'll stand back, go. It'll take just a minute, but I watered my garden day before yesterday, so I know it works. Go ahead. Show the people. I got a problem, don't I? I know what the problem is. I'll be right back. Talk amongst yourselves. Now we're cooking with peanut oil. I needed a hose. Y'all might want to stand back. I'll say it like we do back home. Let her rip, tater chip. Any minute now. What's my problem? I'm not connected to a source. And my sprinkler is not a source. And my channel is not a source. It was working at home because I had it connected to the source. And oh man, when this channel and this sprinkler get to pumping, the tomatoes you grow, that's fruit. But unless I have a source, I'll never be fruitful. And what happens is, what if this channel isn't working? Well, there's bound to be another one. The thing that's important is that I know where the source is. Because if I know where the source can tell me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. How do we bear fruit? By abiding. So all I got to do, I can't produce anything, I'm not the source. I just got to get on the right channel. And if I get on the right channel, the source is providing everything that I need down that line. What he wants me to do in my life. What I need to be able to do those things. Where I need to go. Peace. He never told me to produce peace in my life. He never told me to produce joy in my life. He never told me to produce those things on my own. He said, abide and you'll bear much fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Amen? If we'll get connected to where God wants us, you're the source, God, where do you want me? Where do you want me to go? What channel do you want me on? I want to get plugged into that because pretty soon I'm pumping out everything that I need. And I'm not just producing fruit in my own life. I'm scattering that fruit and providing it to other people. They're seeing that fruit and they're finding out, man, something's different about this person. What's going on? Why are they so fruitful? Well, it's because I've got a channel and that channel is connected to a source. And if your life is connected to a source, if you'll get connected, God, you know, when the Apostle Paul said on the road to Damascus, he said, "Who art thou, Lord, and what would you have me to do?" Those are great questions. Find out who God is, and I'm telling you, he's a source. He's good, and he's a provider. You find out who God is, and then you say, "Lord, what would you have me do?" And that's your channel. And whatever channel he tells you to get in will be your source of supply. He'll be providing for you through that channel. He'll be providing for you. And he may say, "Now I need you to step over here." And when the water quits running, I got to get on the right channel. And I got to get hooked up again. Amen? It's 8:02. I better stop. Glory to God. It's hour of power. I want to pray for you tonight. Just stand to your feet. Make a decision that whatever anybody else does, you're sticking with God. Whether anybody else fulfills the call of God on their life or not, you're going to do it. Other people may fall by the wayside, but you're not letting go. I'm going to be right in the middle of his will for my life. Even when it gets hard, no matter if it's easy, no matter if it's hard, you stay with God. Amen. Father, I want to pray for the people that are here watching online and the people that are in the building, Lord. Some of them may be struggling. They may be dealing with things in their lives right now. Some of them are new students. They just came here. And maybe everything didn't play out the way that they thought that it would. Maybe it was a roommate situation. Lord, maybe it was the job they thought they had. Maybe it was the place that they thought they were going to stay. It didn't work out. But Lord, I'm standing in agreement with them for the right channel. We already know the source, but the right channel. Reveal to them by your Spirit the place, the plan, and the purpose. Lord, if they know that you called them here, then that doesn't change because something happened. You're still the supply. Somebody might be looking for a job here. They're a member of Rainbow Bible Church that they're dealing with something. They may have gotten a bad report at the doctor. But just because you get a bad report from the doctor, just because they say that you have something wrong, even if they said it was cancer, God, you're still a healer. You're still the source of all healing. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm praying for encouragement. Encouragement that they would stir themselves up. Give you praise and glory for your faithfulness to us all, Lord. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for something specific, if you've never been born again, you need to rededicate your life, you need a no-so experience in your life, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Our altar care team's coming down right now. When we leave here, if you've got a need in your life, you've got something that you need someone to pray for you or with you about, these men and women have been trained. They will pray with you in faith and they will help you. They'll stand in faith with you. If you've got any need in your life right now, don't leave here without letting them pray with you tonight. As the rest of us are leaving here, we want you to come down. We just ask this, ladies, if you'll come to the ladies, and men, if you'll come to this wonderful gentleman over here, he'll be able to help you out. If you need prayer for anything, you need to be born again, you need a no-so experience to rededicate your life, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or any other thing that you want agreement for tonight, you come down as we're leaving. Is there anything else, Pastor Ted? Guys, we love and appreciate you so much. Sorry if I got any of you wet here. Be back here on Sunday. Love on your church family before you leave. God bless you.